Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Please do be seated. So this past Thursday, we celebrated Ascension Day, and it was great to worship in the big church, as I call it, over in Buckingham. With slightly more pomp and ceremony we have in our little rural churches. And to be honest, with only a few more people than we get at our benefice service. Ascension Day is such a special day to celebrate when we read the accounts of Jesus ascending to heaven, his mission on earth as our Saviour completed. Jesus came to fulfil a mission, a plan. Going to the cross cleared all our debts for past sins and future sins. We as a human race are forgiven for our sins, atoned for our sins through this. And with Jesus, Son of God, rising from the dead, he also threw open the gates to the eternal kingdom for all. So much from one human being, be he also divine. And then to crown it all, the disciples saw him literally go up to heaven. The Bible reading on Thursday was from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, I think it was. And Jesus, having spoken to the disciples, reminded them of all that had happened, how he had fulfilled all the promises of the Messiah. He then promises them, us, power from on high, that power will come upon them and they are to stay in the city, Jerusalem, for this to happen. And then in verse 50, it said, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. What a scene. And we sometimes have stained glass windows depicting this amazing scene of Jesus being raised up to heaven. And I remember a previous vicar, when I was in her parish, and she was saying to me that she found this image depicted in a stained glass window a bit distracting. She said that in one of her churches, it showed just Jesus's bare feet at the top of the window going into the clouds, and the disciples below all looking up with their hands raised up in wonder. And she said, all she could think about was, did his sandals fall off? Did he take them off before he went up to heaven? And what did the disciples do with the sandals? All she could think about was the sandals. Sometimes these images take us down a different path than they might have been intended to do. So whatever happened with the sandals, we know that Jesus took up his place in the heavenly realm, where he is once again able to take up his crown and sit alongside his Father at his right hand. So that concludes all the things that happened whilst Jesus was here on earth, walking as a human being. But Jesus was right at the beginning of time, and he will be at the very end. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Like you see on that little paper that you have. Could you all pick up one of those little papers? This is from a wall painting in the 4th century catacomb of Commedila, which is to the south of Rome. And it was possibly painted in the 4th century, depicting Jesus there. It shows Jesus Christ and the symbols of Alpha and Omega either side of him. And Alpha and Omega being the names of the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the beginning and the end. And I've printed this copy of this image from a book I've got at the back of the church. It's called The History of Christianity, so do have a look through if you like at the end. So Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is talking to God, to his Father, and he talks to him about this, about the existence he had with him before he came to earth and even before the world began. And this dialogue that we have in John's gospel today started earlier than what we heard. In verse 5, Jesus had said to God his Father, give me the glory I had with you before the world began. And today in the verses that we heard, it said, you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is talking to God about his pre-earthly existence. Something I've found particularly difficult these past few weeks in the Bible readings that we've had is that they keep jumping from Jesus speaking before his death, then Jesus, the risen Christ, speaking, then we have some action from the Acts of the Apostles, and that is with me leaving out any Old Testament readings. Sometimes I've had to really concentrate on which part of the time scale we are hearing about and reflecting on. Maybe you've felt the same if you've been following them. But I think that is how life really is, because Jesus is. Jesus isn't just a person from the past or a person from the future or the Son of God from the past or the risen Christ from the future we expect to return. Jesus always is. In the Old Testament, when we read of God talking to Moses, I think it's in Exodus chapter 3, I think, and it's at by the burning bush. Moses asks God what he should call God, what name he should call him to tell people about. And God says, "I am who I am." And this emphasizes that God is eternal. No name can be given to him that we could forget or get confused with, or think that that is the old God I'm talking about. No, God is. God is the I am, the eternal God. And Jesus is eternal too. We speak about that in the Creed, which we will say later in our service of Holy Communion this morning. We say we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. Begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory. His kingdom will have no end. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. In our reading today, the reason Jesus is saying all these things to God, his Father, in the disciples' presence, is so we can hear them. We can read about them today because it was written down. And he says, "Father, I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Jesus wants us to have the relationship he has with God the Father, because he loves us. Jesus wants us all to have the relationship he has with God the Father, because he loves us. Over the next few weeks, we will talk more about the Holy Spirit coming and the great power that has. That is what Jesus promised would happen. It is the power by which Paul and Silas were freed from the prison that we heard about in our reading from Acts, that first reading. It is the power which Paul and Silas speak about when the jailer, who sees the chains fall off them and the doors open and they're released, the jailer asks, "How too can he be saved? Saved from his chains of life, the things which he needs to break free from, to set him free." And Paul answers, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all your household. It will be by the power of the Holy Spirit sent to all who believe." We live in relatively quiet Buckinghamshire. Our personal belief is really important. Our personal faith can be quite bewildering. It is to me, quite often. But the more we learn about Jesus, the more we put our trust in all we heard about Jesus and develop our relationship with him, with God. Well, then we can pray into this amazing love for all those people we love and care for those concerns that we have in our heart. And we learn to give thanks for all that God does, all that we see and all that we do not see, all the good God is doing and wants to do, and how we can join in and be part of it. This amazing, amazing, long story which goes from forever and ever. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, in Jesus Christ. Amen.